Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we get the latest news from Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon team and learn about Minnesota's VESI chapter of the Association of the United States Army. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
April 22nd was the nation's 43rd anniversary of Earth Day. To show our commitment to this initiative, the Minnesota National Guard conducted Earth Day projects to beautify and enhance the natural environment of Camp Ripley. I'm proud to report that more than 100 volunteers cleaned up the camping and recreational areas on Camp Ripley, as well as the ditches along the camp's edge. Volunteers planted trees in training areas, established a walking trail, and placed stormwater awareness markers throughout the camp. One of Minnesota National Guard's continuing priorities is to advance an environmentally sustainable infrastructure, from building standards to protecting and enhancing the land that our soldiers train on. Our Camp Ripley environmental team does a great job on environmental stewardship on Earth Day and every day. It's that constant attention to preserving our natural resources that have made Camp Ripley a training destination for both military and civilian organizations. This state-owned resource is one of the Guard's best resources for training our competent and ready force.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now to talk about the Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program is Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach, and Major Aaron Krenz, Chief of Deployment Cycle Support. Annette, Major Krenz, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Annette, I think we better start with you. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, we're going to get into its origins later, but you've been with this program for a long time, haven't you?
I have, really since 2007, when we really came together to ask our Minnesota communities to support, recognize, and honor service members and military families.
And you helped organize the first Yellow Ribbon City.
The first Yellow Ribbon City was the city of Farmington that was recognized by Governor Tim Pawlenty in December of 2008.
And how did you get involved in that, Annette?
Well, my first encounter was really being a family readiness group volunteer to support my son's unit when he was deployed with the National Guard in 2005 to 2007. And I became a volunteer and just hung around the National Guard until they finally hired me.
You wouldn't let him go, and there it went. And so now you're helping organize Yellow Ribbon communities all over the state.
Yes, so I help throughout the state as Director of Military Outreach, and really helped put the program together, the criteria we have, which is a high standard for our Minnesota communities and our Minnesota companies to make commitments in to support our service members, veterans, and military families.
And Major Krenz, welcome back to the show. How long have you been in the military now, sir?
About 22 years.
22 years, and you're now Chief of Deployment Cycle Support.
Yes, I can honestly say it's one of the most challenging opportunities that I've had.
And can you just enlighten our listeners on what was the original purpose of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program?
Well, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon reintegration program was when initially founded back in response to our ever-growing deploying service member base. And when we had our service members deploying overseas, whether it be to Bosnia, Kosovo, Iraq, Afghanistan, or Kuwait, when our service members returned home, many of them were struggling during the reintegration period. And the original time frame for our service members coming back to their unit and linking with their battle buddies was about 90 days. And we found that that was entirely too long based on a lot of them were having relationship issues. And by the time we found out about it, they were going through a divorce, or some of them were having financial problems and getting their homes foreclosed on. So there was a need to bring our service members back earlier and to provide them with the resources to meet those needs and those challenges as they progress through the reintegration process.
So you actually bring them back 30, 60, 90 days with the program to help the soldiers and airmen reintegrate into civilian life and to help the families to welcome back the returning service members?
Yes, actually, the preparation for this starts even before the service members deploy, and we call that our Family Preparation Academies. It helps the family and service member know what to expect during their deployment, what to prepare for. And then once the service member has deployed, we have a Family Readiness Academy, and that helps the family members prepare for the return of their service member, and that leads us into the 30, 60, and 90-day reintegration events. And even before they return, we send a team out to the demobilization site to identify any specific or critical issues that can be addressed and fixed before they even get home.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper and Major Aaron Krenz about the Beyond the Yellow program in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Major Krenz, the program really expanded beyond the reintegration program to support for the families while our service members are deployed, didn't it?
Absolutely. We found that through the need of, obviously, Internet and Skype, that many of these concern areas were being discussed or not discussed while the service member was deployed. So our family members were reaching out to us and wondering what resources in their communities they could rely on to help support them. And that's really where the Yellow Ribbon Networks come in to help support that service member's family while they're gone.
And Annette, what kind of support do you provide the families while service members are deployed? We've had a long winter. I know it has something to do with snow.
Absolutely. Snow shoveling, house cleaning, access to local medical and mental health professionals within a community are all things that we ask the community to have resources and networks locally accessible to our service members and their families. And it really started with the vision of how could a community really replicate what an active duty installation could provide a returning service member and could surround them and their children and their spouse with the kinds of resources that would be readily available close by.
Ned, I have to ask you, down in your territory from the original Yellow Ribbon community, wasn't there a special dinner for the moms and the grandmothers?
Yes. Every year, for 5 years, the Farmington Yellow Ribbon Network has hosted military mothers and grandmothers to honor them for their service of currently serving service members. And the first year was 40 moms and grandmas, and last year they had close to about 150. And this year they're preparing for their fifth anniversary program to really recognize all the things the community has done.
So it's still going on.
Absolutely. Stronger than ever.
That's good to hear.
Now they're joined with Lakeville and other Dakota County communities that help each other to reach every veteran and military family throughout Dakota County.
Major Krenz, I know that a couple of years ago we had 2,700 members of the Red Bulls deployed to Kuwait. And when they were coming home, we had a new issue. There were a lot of them that were looking for employment. And the Minnesota National Guard and your office did a lot to help them. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. We discovered through one of General Nash's visit to Kuwait and discussing with the brigade commander, Colonel Kurska, at the time, that unemployment or employment concerns when our service members were returning was one of the top issues. In fact, of the almost 2,700 service members, almost 28% said that they were having unemployment concerns, whether they were coming back unemployed, underemployed, didn't know what they wanted to do. But we understood that this was a significant challenge. And we also knew that if we addressed employment and helping prepare them to compete for jobs when they return home, that this could solve a lot of other things. We know that if a service member has employment, they can meet their financial responsibilities. If their financial issues are a major contributor, relationship issues, which contributes to potential mental health concerns as well as substance abuse. So if we really headed off the employment issue early, we could maybe solve some of those other things as well. And by the direction of General Nash, he sent an employment resource team to Kuwait, which had members of the Department of Employment and Economic Development, as well as our corporate partners from Target, Best Buy, and U.S. Bank, and also the Chamber of Commerce and the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. And we spent about 5 days on the ground in Kuwait training our service members to compete for jobs when they returned home. And we carried that training on through the 30 and 60 and 90-day reintegration events.
Major Krenz, Annette, we have to take a short break. When we return, we'll find out how that program worked and if we had an impact on that employment issue. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back.
Friends, this is Don Pancake, commander of the Minnesota American Legion. As we continue our mission to train school patrols across the state, we encourage you to make a difference. Please visit legionville.org. That's legionville.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by Annette Kuiper, director of the Military Outreach, and Major Aaron Krenz, chief of deployment cycle support, and we've been talking about Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. Major Krenz, just before the break, we talked about all the special things that the Minnesota National Guard did to support our deployed Red Bull soldiers, 2,700 of them before they just came back from Kuwait, and to help them get employment. The numbers were huge and they were scary, but how did we do?
Well, the key thing to remember here is we weren't guaranteeing them a job, but all we wanted to do was increase their competitiveness to find employment when they got home. So the skills sets that we helped train them on through our corporate partners while we were in Kuwait were enhanced at the 30, 60, and 90-day reintegration events. And then really through our employment partners, both at the local, state, and federal levels, we were able to synchronize a message to connect our service members with their veteran employment rep at the workforce centers to post to develop a goal-setting tool and what their career goal would be through the Goals Plus Plans Equals Success tool that the Minnesota State College and Universities developed, and then post their resume on the state site, which is minnesotaworks.net. And through that, we were able to reduce that unemployment concern number from 28% down to less than 2%. And that sifted out the service members that were going to go back to school, that decided to be stay-at-home parents, that decided to, I want a career in this field, and they went after it and interviewed and got the job. And it really has been a success story here in Minnesota. And we owe a lot of big thanks to our corporate small businesses and the communities that help support our service members and understanding that hiring a service member brings value added to their company.
And we still have that all focused at positivelyminnesota.com/veterans.
Absolutely.
So if there are employers out there that want to employ our veterans or our service members, go there. And if there's service members looking for jobs, go there. Major Krenz, Minnesota has been at the forefront of some of these things, the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, the reintegration, the efforts to help employ soldiers. What's the Guard Bureau done with that?
Well, National Guard Bureau and really the Department of Defense made the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon reintegration program a national model, in which they understood that all service members, no matter what branch, no matter if you're active duty or reserve component, it's important to have that reintegration time. So Minnesota, again, led the way in that respect, and across the nation now it is a requirement for service members to be provided reintegration training.
So these programs are spread to the National Guard units for all over the United States.
Yes.
That's got to be really, really fun, isn't it?
It is. It is. We do have a big challenge ahead of us to figure out how we continue to support and meet the needs of the future as well.
Great work. Annette, in Minnesota, how many armories do we have?
We have 63 armory and air-based communities across Minnesota.
And I know you had a goal to try to get some yellow ribbon communities everywhere where we had soldiers and airmen and all those armories, didn't you?
Yes. In the past, at the state level, we would be reactive to any community who wanted to participate in this kind of program. However, when General Nash came on board and had seen the results of the impact to his troops, to see how we could really, really support and how these communities could come together, we proactively went to all 63 of our Armory and Air Base communities. And to this date, we have all but 12. We're working with our last 12 communities. The city of Minneapolis is one of them, and we've been partnering with the city of Minneapolis to get started on their action plan to be a yellow ribbon community. And they are responding just wonderfully in bringing all together all of their resources in such a large community. We were able to proclaim St. Paul as a Yellow Ribbon community last year. So we have our two largest communities that we've been able to proclaim as Yellow Ribbon communities.
So 51 of the 63 communities with armories now have Yellow Ribbon community support.
Yes, and we'll have all by the end of the year. So we are very, very well in the communities have responded so wonderfully to our request and to ask them to come together as a community because we know how effective this program has been.
You've come a long way since we visited last night.
Yes.
How many Yellow Ribbon entities do we have now?
We have 151 Yellow Ribbon cities in Minnesota, and we're very excited. We have 19 counties who have also combined with cities or become their own county-level network. So we're very excited to continue the efforts. We still need their help. We still need their partnership, and it is working.
And you have some Yellow Ribbon businesses as well.
Yes, we have 26 Yellow Ribbon companies who follow the same process in which they have to make a commitment within every key area of their organization to support service members, veterans, and military families. And we are working with wonderful companies, and we connect them to our Yellow Ribbon communities, so we're able to even continue the kind of partnership that we have found success with.
Now, Annette, the last time we talked, you were talking about the fact that Yellow Ribbon communities around the state had each figured out how to do some things very well, and there was a need to try to exchange some of those ideas. What did you come up with to do that?
Well, we are offering, have been offering 7 Yellow Ribbon summits across the state. The Yellow Ribbon communities asked us to begin to bring them together to share their best practices and to talk among themselves what were their challenges and what were their successes. So we've been able to bring them all together across the state. We've held 5 of the 7, and we have 2 left, one in Duluth and one in St. Cloud. And in every area of the state, our communities have come together with their partners and spending their time on a Saturday all day to come together and share best practices and hear about many of our initiatives and how they can partner.
And how are those summits been received? Pretty well?
Absolutely. We do an evaluation at the end of the summits, and we have heard that our Yellow Ribbon communities say that it was a valuable use of their time. They're leaving re-energized. They're leaving with new updates to initiatives, and we have great conversations on how they can partner with many of the initiatives we have at the state level.
And do you also talk about the various resources available, such as Serving Our Troops, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation? No need to duplicate efforts, is there?
No, not at all. And we update them on all those resources so the communities don't feel they have to do it alone. We give them information on how to connect with those resources, and we have great discussions on how to partner into the way into the future.
We're speaking with Annette Kuiper and Major Aaron Krenz about Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program on Minnesota Military Radio. Major Krenz, this program has unfolded over, what, 5 or 6 years or so. Is it evolving? Is it changing? Are the needs of the of our service members and their families changing? Are there new things you're working on?
Yeah, I would say that we are very aware of the needs of our service members and military families through asking them, what are they struggling with? And helping to meet those needs through various methods, through the Yellow Ribbon networks, through the internal resources that we provide through the Minnesota National Guard. And certainly one of those, you know, we've focused a lot on the service members and our military families. And one of the new initiatives we've had is our military-connected youth. In Minnesota, there's over 20,000 service members currently, whether active duty in different branches, Coast Guard, Air Reserve, Army Reserve, Marine Corps Reserve, and they have military-connected youth right here attending our schools. And so our family programs and youth and school services developed a kindergarten through 12th grade school resource toolkit for our schools and school counselors to use. It's free of charge, and it gives them opportunities to utilize these tools to help our military-connected youth who may be struggling with a deployed parent or a recently returned parent that they're trying to figure out how to fit back into the family. And we really have received positive feedback from the school districts. All 334 of them across Minnesota have received this, and many, many of them are, over half are actively using it. So we see that as success, and we think that going forward that that's going to best support our military-connected youth.
Major Krenz, we've had some other folks on the show recently talking about the toolkit program, the fact that our military youth experience some things that civilian youth don't, and for them to get together with other military children and share ideas and problems and issues is healthy, and there's some summer camps involved in that too, isn't there?
Absolutely. There's summer camps throughout the summer and opportunities throughout the year, too, to participate with other military-connected youth and share their stories and their struggles. And it really is beneficial for our military-connected youth to feel like they're not alone. Maybe in a outstate or greater Minnesota school, they might be the only military-connected youth in their school or in their class. So to be able to connect them, bring them together, and listen to them on what the things that they're looking for to seek support that we can help best provide.
Annette, we've just got a couple of minutes left, but when you're out with your Yellow Ribbon communities, I'm sure you're talking about the family readiness groups, the county veteran service officers, the family assistance centers. Are they becoming more and more aware of all the resources available?
Oh, absolutely. We are surrounding our Yellow Ribbon networks with a whole team from the county veteran service officers to the family assistance centers. And in each of our 63 Armory and Air Bases, we have a unit representative who's on the core committee as well. And that whole team is feeding our Yellow Ribbon networks the needs of military within their area, as well as the kinds of things that they can do to help. So it's been a great partnership, and everybody's working together, which is exactly the key to success for this whole program.
Annette, I think you must have burned up a car. You're running all over the state. Any final thoughts for us today?
Well, I think going forward, we're just continuing with building these networks within our communities. We still need their help. We need military families to reach out to their local Yellow Ribbon Network. They can find Yellow Ribbon Network point of contacts on our beyondtheyellowribbon.org site. And we need them more than ever to help expand their mission to support any veteran of any age.
We almost missed that, our favorite website, beyondtheyellowribbon.org. Major Krenz, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say thank you to all our community members, veteran service organizations, our employment partners, communities, and neighbors for your continued support. We do appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us today. That was Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach, and Major Aaron Krenz, Chief of Deployment Cycle Support, talking about Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. In a moment, we'll learn about Minnesota's VESI chapter of the Association of the United States Army. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll learn about the John W. VESI chapter of the AEUSA. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Our volunteers at each of our veterans' homes around the state contribute tremendously to the quality of life of our veterans. Volunteers provide invaluable support by sharing their experience, time, and compassion with our residents. Family members, friends, and community members play a key role in helping us serve those who have served through generous donations of time and money. If you or someone you know would like to make a difference, please contact us at 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about the John W. VESI chapter of the Association of the U.S. Army is retired Colonel Don Kerr, who is the president of the John W. VESI chapter, and retired Lieutenant Colonel Tim Loney. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Colonel Kerr, can you tell us, you're the president of the VESI chapter, what is the AUSA, and why do my listeners want to know?
Sure. The Association of the U.S. Army is a 501c3 charitable organization that was established in 1951, and it was established really to be the voice of the Army. The members of the Army, because they're serving in Title 10, have certain restrictions on what they can say, what they can do, particularly as it pertains to political activities and educating the American people about what's going on inside the Army or what could impact on the Army. And AUSA was established to be that voice. So they do outreach for the Army and with the public. They do some lobbying on the Hill and in the Congress to ensure that the long-term goals of, or the good of the Army is looked out for.
Colonel Kerr, who are the members? What's the makeup of your membership?
Yeah, so the John Vesey chapter really has geographical responsibility for AUSA in the state of Minnesota. And we have just under 1,000 members. Last check was 989. We hover right around that 1,000-member mark. And we're pretty proud of that, actually, since we don't have an active Army installation in Minnesota. We feel that 1,000-member threshold is an okay place to be. I'd like to see the membership higher, obviously. We'd like to have more. But it's comprised of members who are in the Army National Guard, in the Army Reserve, retirees, folks who used to be there, and friends of the Army. So there's no requirement for membership in the Army to be a member of AUSA. You just have to be a friend of the Army. And really, the only hard requirement is that you have sworn not to overthrow the government of the United States.
You know, I was at one of your recent meetings, and I didn't hear that requirement, but but I promised not to do that. You meet once a month.
We do. We meet monthly in the Twin Cities at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport's Officers Club, just off the east side of the airport. A little bit hard to get to off Post Road, but it's there. And we meet at noon on the first Wednesday of each month, and the meetings run 1 hour.
And Colonel Kerr, as the meeting I was at, or the couple of meetings I've been at, I've seen the Secretary of State, I've seen service members in uniform, you have a chaplain, I'm Air Force, but they're mostly Army, and it's quite a cross-section of Minnesotan veterans, isn't it?
It is a good cross-section of veterans and also other nonprofit agencies that have veteran interests. For example, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans is at most of our meetings, and we welcome them there. We feel they're a great partner with us. And other charitable organizations and even some fairly small ones that may do only single events recognizing veterans. We help sponsor some of those and help them get the word out about their events so that they can conduct fundraising activities for veterans groups and just support our veterans through ice fishing tournaments and runs and races and golf tournaments and that sort of thing.
We're actually coming up on an important time of year for MACV because they're starting to do their stand downs around the state, aren't they?
That's correct. They've scheduled their stand downs for the upcoming year in a number of locations around the state. And that's another activity that we think is very important that we help them support. Another significant date that's coming up for AUSA. So we do a number of things in addition to just the monthly meetings, but we also pass out information coming from National so that we get a synchronized message that can be then relayed to the American people through a grassroots means. We also run a number of our own activities. We do celebrate the Army's birthday, which comes up on the 14th of June every year. And this year we'll be celebrating that at the 34th Division headquarters at the 1st Brigade of the 34th Division, the Aviation Brigade of the 34th Division, and one or two units of the Army Reserve that we're still negotiating with to get an opportunity to come do that and just kind of recognize the history of the Army with those soldiers in those units and talk about their role in that history.
So, Colonel Kerr, I want to dig in a little deeper. You said one of your main missions, if you will, is to have a chain of communications between the United States Army and our veterans and our service members and those people living in Minnesota. What type of information do you get from them, and how do you disseminate it?
Well, for example, as the Department of Defense and really the whole federal government has been going through this struggle with sequestration, this has been a very turbulent spring. One of the things that was really becoming apparent to the national military leadership is, and was communicated to the association and then was adopted by the association and communicated through it, that really it's important that the Department of Defense receives some kind of long-term stability in its budgeting process. It's very difficult to manage the budget at the federal when the federal level runs in a series of continuing resolutions. And this gets into a little bit of technical stuff, but it's really causing a lot of strain inside the military to be able to plan when you don't know what your final budget's going to be until you're halfway through the executed year. And that really makes it difficult. And the association is taking a very hard line trying to educate members of Congress and how much crisis that creates inside the services and how wasteful it is. And so that's something that the association is in a better position to communicate to the American people and to the Congress than the Army is itself. At some point, they have to follow the orders that are given them. And the association is a venue that they can use or a media they can use to communicate that message.
We're speaking with retired Colonel Don Kerr and retired Lieutenant Colonel Timothy Loney on Minnesota Military Radio about the John W. Vesey chapter of the Army Association of the United States. Colonel Kerr, you were in the Guard for 28 years, and you still have full-time employment over there as the director of the Department of the Military. Is all that background, it seems kind of natural that you'd be the president of this chapter.
Well, it does. And actually, I've been a member of the association. I had one break, but generally since the summer of 1980 when I joined when I was a private. And for a long time, I wasn't a really active member other than paying my dues and receiving the monthly magazine that I found actually quite useful to my professional career. But I started to feel a little bit of guilt as I got more senior in my career that I wasn't participating as a member the way I'd like to see membership participation go. So here about a year ago, in a moment of weakness, one of the other officers in the association came to me and said, you really ought to think about stepping up and taking on a leadership role. And I decided that it was time to do that. And so I accepted the offer. I didn't realize at the time that they intended me to jump right into the presidency, but it's been an interesting challenge and one that I really do appreciate. And I honestly do see it as a very distinct privilege. The Vesey chapter is a great chapter. There have been a lot of great leaders, and many of those leaders in the organization have not even been military members. We've had a very great guy who's now our regional president named Paul Wagner, who was the president of the association a couple iterations before me, who did great work really expanding the size of the chapter, and he had no military background whatsoever. So you don't have to be in the Army to understand what it's about. You just have to be a little bit patriotic and care enough about the nation's military to try to help.
And Colonel Curry, you brought along another member of the association today, retired Colonel Tim Loney. You must have known him in the Minnesota National Guard as well.
Well, Tim was a member of the Army Reserve. I did know him through the association because we were members of the association together. Tim actually has done a really great job in the leadership role. He's been a number of vice presidencies and currently is fulfilling a very key role as president of our veterans-owned business subchapter, a veteran business owner subchapter, I guess is the right
veteran business owner subchapter.
And Tim, how long have you been a member of the AUSA?
I've been a member of the Vesey chapter in AUSA probably back to about 1983, 1984. And about 91 or 92 is when I really started getting more involved with it. And it was right after there was four key guys who said, we're either going to fold this chapter up or we're going to make it into something real big. And that was with Jim Lindell and Jim Anderson and a few other guys about 15 years ago. And they recruited me after that a little bit, and I started helping things back when I was a major, really doing a lot of it. And the chapter's grown. I mean, there's about 100 members back then, and it's up to over, like Don said, right around 1,000 right now.
And Colonel Tim, I know that you've started a subchapter, the Veterans Business Owner subchapter of the John W. Vesey chapter of the AUSA, but we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to find out what that's all about and what the purpose is.
Great.
We've been speaking with retired Colonel Don Kerr and retired Lieutenant Colonel Tim Loney about the John W. Vesey chapter of the AUSA on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been talking to retired Colonel Don Kerr and retired Lieutenant Colonel Tim Loney about the John W. Vesey chapter of the AUSA. Colonel Kerr, you have the chapter. You have about 1,000 members. You have some subchapters. How many do you have?
We do now have 4 subchapters. 3 of those subchapters, Tom, are ROTC detachments at the University of Minnesota, Mankato State, and a consolidated chapter at St. John's, St. Cloud, and St. Ben's up in the St. Cloud area. And those subchapters really focus on what those ROTC detachments do, and we really are proud to have them, pleased to have them. It's a great way for us to interface with those young leaders who are about to embark on military careers in the Army, and also to support some of their own activities. For example, the chapter does sponsor and has sponsored the recent trip to White Sands Missile Range by the St. John's Fighting Saints Battalion, where they had an outstanding showing in the annual Bataan Death March Memorial Marathon, a 26-mile run in excess of 26 miles, where they took second place in 3 different categories with a large number of participants. It was a great deal.
So you have sub-chapters that are separate groups, maybe separate geographic locations, reason to be together, and gives them access to all of the information coming out of the United States Army.
That's correct, and we had one other existing sub-chapter, the Blue Devils chapter. Those were guys and gals who were generally affiliated with the 88th Division when the 88th Division was here, and that sub-chapter still exists. And we've just stood up our 5th sub-chapter, and that's what Colonel Loney's here to talk about today.
Colonel Loney, you've started a subchapter, the Veterans Business Owner subchapter of the John W. Vesey chapter of the AUSA. That was a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, and a lot of times when we're dealing with people, we just call it the Veteran Business Owners chapter, subchapter of AUSA. just to shorten it up. But yes, it's a big mouthful, and it's been a great endeavor.
Group of veteran business owner, business people. What's your mission? Who you're trying to attract, and why?
Well, what we're trying to do is get a voice for different veteran business owners, mostly small business owners, and giving them a way to help make this a more veteran business owner friendly state. Mostly with people who want to do contracting with the state, the county, or the cities, or also with the federal government. And what we're trying to do, we find that a lot of times veteran business owners are more likely to hire veterans. So part of the ultimate goal is to help more veterans get more jobs, or the kid that comes back and doesn't want to run a forklift anymore because he's been operating in a convoy over in Iraq or in Afghanistan, and he's got 25 people working for him, and he's an E5 and E6, and he does a good job, and he comes back, and it's just not as fulfilling, and he wants to maybe have a business. We want to help coach and mentor those people to become business owners. And it's become a big network. Right now, we've got a little over 30 different corporations and companies that are a part of our veteran business owner subchapter.
So some of them are veteran business owners. Some of them are service-disabled veteran business owners.
Right.
Is part of the issue to understand veterans' preference items?
Part of it is understanding veterans' preference and contracting and, like, the rule of two. And teaching these people how to deal with the different corporations. A lot of these major corporations, the prime contractors and the federal government, they have special programs set up for diverse business interests, be them women-owned, 8A, minority-owned businesses. And a lot of times that liaison is the same liaison for that veteran business owner as a service-disabled veteran small business or just a veteran small business to be able to work with that corporation. Just last 2 weeks ago, there was a conference here, a procurement fair called SADBOC up at the Earl Brown Center. And we actually took 12 of our veteran business owner companies, and we had some training for them to tell them what they had to expect and how they had to have their paperwork set up, where you don't use a nice glossy stock of paper. You have it actually on regular paper, because these people are getting 1,000 proposals or business plans from people in one day. And you want to try to have your company be one of the 25 or 30 memorable business cards or proposals that those companies want to follow up with in the next 3 to 6 months, as opposed to the 950 that they just got too much that they can't do. And so we try to coach and mentor those people to be able to do more with those type of people.
So it's knowledge sharing, and there's an educational component for these business owners to share what they've learned in trying to access these contracts.
Yes, and even, you know, how to just start a business up. You know, you got some people, we've got people in our group on the whole spectrum of business, from thinking about starting a company to very mature and getting federal and state contracts on a weekly, monthly basis. And we're trying to bring everybody along to that part. And additionally, we're trying to work with the legislatures and the other people in the government here to make it more business friendly. There's a process here in the state of Minnesota. If you want to do business with the state, you need to have gone through the Center of Veterans Enterprises, which is a subset of the VA, and been certified as a certified service-disabled small business or as a veteran-owned business. And until you have that certification, the state won't recognize you and do business with you and give you that veteran's preference. There's about 100 companies in the state of Minnesota that have that veteran's certification. There's about 4,000 veteran businesses in the state. So we're trying to work with the Department of Admin and with the legislatures and other people to make that a simpler rule, or to come up with a program that we can. And I think a great example of that is there's a gentleman named Jerry Kaiser with the United Veterans Legislative Council, or UVLC, and they stepped up in working with the Sports Commission and with the legislatures, and Mortensen have come up with a way that they can help verify veteran businesses to work on the Viking Stadium. And they've actually, although it's not in legislation or not in law, they're working on it so that the veterans will actually, veteran businesses will have 10% of the dollars spent on that, spent on veteran businesses to help that with their economy.
So just to finish up, Colonel Loney, the mission of the Veterans Business Owner subchapter is to help veteran business owners and veteran executives and people interested in business to pull together and do more business and be more successful.
Do more business, be more successful, and have a more unified voice in how we're giving back to our local community.
Thanks, Tim. Colonel Kerr, we just got a minute or so left. Any final thoughts on the association and when you meet again and your website?
Sure, Tom. Okay. Well, first I want to thank Tim for coming in and really for being the spark plug for the Veterans Business subchapter. It's really important, and it really, I think, highlights how, as an educational institution, we can reach out and do training and education for our members in an area that, in this case, may not be in the mainstream of what people think about. So those who know about AUSA know that we do some education, but that normally means at an active Army base, they'll bring in some very high-ranking speakers and they'll do professional development topics. That's very interesting for the service members and the soldiers that are actively engaged, but probably not so much for many of my constituents in my chapter who are really business owners and are really more interested in the kinds of things that we're doing there. So through the establishment of that subchapter and looking at others, that's kind of how we're trying to reach out and make membership in our association more valuable to the members by finding the niches that will really support their membership in the association.
So for our listeners, for more information, your website?
VESEchapter.org.
And we'll have a link to that on our Facebook site. And you have a monthly meeting when and where?
Wednesdays at 12 o'clock at the Officers Club at Fort Snelling on the east side of the airfield.
And who's welcome?
Anyone who's not interested in overthrowing the United States government.
All right, gentlemen, thanks for joining us today. That was retired Colonel Don Kerr and retired Lieutenant Colonel Tim Loney from the John W. Vesey chapter of the AUSA. Now, before we go, there are a few upcoming events we'd like to mention. First, the Bloomington Knights of Columbus will be hosting their third annual Blue Star Bash Saturday, May 18th. Tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door. There'll be a live band and raffles with proceeds to benefit organizations like Heroes on Horseback, the Eagles Healing Nest, the Wounded Warrior Project. Again, that's Saturday, May 18th at the Bloomington Knights of Columbus Hall. Also coming up, the Better Business Bureau of Minnesota will be hosting a seminar Thursday, May 14th for business owners and human resource professionals who want to know why it makes good sense to hire veterans. Again, that's Tuesday, May 24th at their headquarters in Burnsville. For more information on these and other upcoming events, subscribe to the show online, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major Aaron Krenz, Annette Kuiper, Don Kerr, Tim Loney, Commissioner Larry Shalado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk with the top Red Bull soldier about the history and future of the storied unit. And just in from Washington, D.C., we'll talk with one of the VA's top officials about the latest benefit news. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.